Last Saturday, July 29th, 18 youth gathered in Arlington Street Church in Boston and delivered 3 to 4 minute homilies each to their peers and adult leaders. It was the culmination of a week in community with people drawn from throughout the United States. We met kids from Tennessee to Seattle, from the 110-degree heat of Texas to cities in the north, from youth groups consisting of 2 people to 200. It was an eclectic group. It was a loud and passionate group, and I loved every minute of it. We learned about each other's lives in a dining hall that was strongly reminiscent of Hogwarts. We asked questions about each other's faith on walks around the Harvard campus where we lived, and we were introduced in workshops to the many different possibilities of becoming a religious professional in the Unitarian Universalist faith. That Saturday night embraced what we had been exploring that week and put it into creation. In the homilies of my peers that night, I heard the voices of the ministers, DREs, chaplains, and other religious professionals that we had met. I heard the self-exploration that we did as each person reflected on their personal call to Unitarian Universalism. Most importantly, I heard the hope and excitement that we held in the knowledge that all 18 of us are actively working towards a better faith, a fairer society, and a world with less fear in it than when we started. My homily embraces the topic of fear, fear of the unknown future. It talks about a fear that all of the youth we met that week experienced, and no doubt most of you too, the fear of not being adequate enough to change the world positively. It talks about how fear of cultures and traditions and unknown people drives oppression and the possibility of living with, not without, this fear. Today, I'm going to share my homily that I wrote for that Saturday with you, and Connor will share his after mine. I am full of fear. Seriously, I am. I'm terrified right now. Not only of delivering this homily, no. I am also afraid of what it entails, of what we had been exploring that week at Summer Seminary. I am afraid of not being able to make enough of a difference. I am afraid of not strumming one of your heartstrings, not letting your mind sing with my words, not letting the community that we have formed be filled with this singing. It is an oddly liberating phrase, I am afraid. In saying it, we accept the fear for what it is. We acknowledge its existence. Where does this fear exist? In the head? In the heart? No. I believe that fear exists in the future. It is fear of the unknown. I do not know that I will be able to write a memorable homily, and so I am afraid. The path of my future is foggy and unclear, and so I am afraid. These fears, while they undoubtedly lie within me now, are based in fact of the future. Yet fear of the unknown is terribly dangerous right now. We are all well aware of its subversive and corroding effects, whether it be an individual's mental health, one community's supremacy over another, or society's saddening indifference. Fear is the motivating factor behind the unyielding rage of hate crimes as well as the suffocating attrition of systematic oppression. Yet have we ever lived in a world without fear? As my generation grows up in a post-9/11 reality, it surrounds us in a seemingly unbreakable wall. So rather than trying to eradicate this fear, rather than trying to get rid of it, why not grow a place where we can live with it, where we can look fear in the eyes and say, "Friend, give your heart to me." This is the story I want to tell about Unitarian Universalism. It is a story of living together, aware of our own fear and opening it to each other. It is the story of providing a welcome sanctuary where we can be safely grounded in acceptance. Yes, it is the story of Black Lives Matter. Yes, it is the story of LGBTQ rights. Yes, it is the story of social justice not being found in assimilation and integration, but in upliftment and empowerment. And this is where our story turns from one of fear to one of love.
Summer seminary was an intense experience, and one intentional about bringing our unique individual experiences from across the country together so that we all would learn more fully about Unitarian Universalism. For me, one of the coolest side effects of this wonderful conglomeration of young voices was a reminder of how we can make connections with people no matter how different our upbringings or pasts are. For example, it amazed me that no matter how strange we seemed to each other, we could talk comfortably within minutes of meeting about the finer details of Luke Skywalker's role in the upcoming Star Wars movies, or how awesome it is that there is a podcast that analyzes Harry Potter books in a religious context. It's called Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. Totally worth checking it out. But it was clear to me, too, that on a deeper and more thought-provoking subjects, universal hopes and concerns started to become apparent. For example, I think every participant at one point commented on the wonderful revelation of how expansive our UU community is. Sometimes, even though I know there are UU churches across the country and across the world, I get stuck into thinking that we are mightily alone because of the facelessness of this national and global faith community. Suddenly meeting faces and accents from dozens of different states, all identifying as Unitarian Universalists, I was like, hey, we aren't alone in this. There will be UUs in many of the places I go, and isn't that a wonderful feeling? Not all of these common experiences felt good, however. As most of us had been active leaders in the past or involved in social justice, there was this deep conflict between a desire to change the world and a fear to take the sole responsibility for this change. I firmly believe that our generation has a desire like no other to right the wrongs of oppression in our society and of the greed in our country's beliefs and culture. But too many times have we heard, "The future is yours," or "It's now up to the young people to change the world." The future is everyone's, whether you are 2 or 20 or 60 or 100. I think we need to get past fighting just for the concept of our children or grandchildren's happiness. Fight for your future too. It's still there. We have a responsibility for the whole world. Just because my work is beginning does not mean that your work has reached its conclusion. Another universal experience was the difficulty to love. In our time where backpedaling social progress seems to be the aim of our government and ignorance seems to be encouraged, how can we take on these new waves of challenges with inner peace and love? In summer seminary, we were encouraged to diversify our sources of inspiration, to draw not just from ancient knowledge, but from all other religions and sources of wisdom, from our experience and modern history as well. Here is a take on love that ranges from Greek language to the civil rights movement to my own personal experience. As most of you probably know, me and my brother just graduated from Haverhill High School, and it is with relief that I can let you know that not only have I escaped alive, but I no longer have to eat vaguely plastic foods at lunch ever again. For real though, I am glad that I no longer have to study Latin or classics. Though I did enjoy some things, I admit I dreaded the stuffy texts of Virgil or the overcompensating manliness of Caesar's Gallic Wars. And yet, I will admit that one thing piqued my interest, which was the Greek concept of agape. One of the three Greek words for love, alongside eros, intimate love, and philia, reciprocal friendship love. Agape is a wider love that extends to all people and all things. In the words of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., agape is a love which seeks nothing in return. It is a love that loves the person who does the evil deed while hating the deed that person does. And Unitarian Universalism is a faith that embraces this love. After all, our first principle affirms the inherent worth and dignity of every person. It pushes us to that agape love. This is a constant love. This is an intentional love. And yet I know within my heart and within our church communities that this most difficult form of love is not being lived up to, especially in light of recent political events within the past week and year. How many of us can really say we actively forgive those conscious and unconscious perpetrators of oppression? I know for sure that I can't. Recently, a rage and a sadness has crept into my body, crowding out the spaces where I once held patience and forgiveness for beliefs that do not align with my own, and I'm sure others have felt this anger too. I would like to tell a story about someone who conquered this rage, a story about that prophet of radical love, Martin Luther King Jr. After an extensive tour, King had just returned to Birmingham, Alabama, in the fall of 1962 to give an address to the Southern Christian Leadership Conference as their president. In front of over 1,000 people, a young white member of the Nazi Party jumped on stage and punched King in the head and neck several times before security could reach them. For the whole time, King did not move away. He did not flinch, but he took the beating and after requested that the young man be allowed to take his seat again before continuing his address. Later, he said, "This system that we live under creates people such as this youth. I'm not interested in pressing charges. I'm interested in changing the system that produces this kind of man." Wow. It was with this kind of love that King led the historical civil rights movement. And if we want to create a world of peace, if we want to give life the shape of justice, we must listen again to the words of our chalice lighting, which says, "We are the ones we've been waiting for." It is that time to begin loving our enemies with that radical agape intention. It is that time to recognize that not only is our faith bound up in the lives of the oppressed, but in the lives of the oppressors. It is that time to embrace the uncertainty. It is that time to wake up to your future and start making it better with love. That time is now. Amen and blessed be.